inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is
looking for some extra color for your salad, color that is also tasty. I'll try edible flowers. In this week's edition of Garden Talk, Master Gardener Ed Bajarski brings into the studio a set of red and yellow flowers of all shapes and sizes. Bajarski says edible flowers can be found among common ornamentals and even some garden vegetables.
Maybe one of the most common for folks, nasturtium blossoms. Leaves, too, are edible. Can be tossed into salads, and they're kind of a tart, tangy blossom. A more strange one are begonia flowers, tuberous begonia flowers. And those are really quite nice. And of course, they come in all different colors, from white, yellow, pink, red, orange. But they are almost lemony, taste very much like French sorrel to me. And again, can be tossed into salads and can be used also in coloring stuff. And in fact, I'm selling some of these, and I understand they're showing up on Facebook pictures of people with them in their drinks in local establishments. I learned from Charlotte Jewell, who owned Jewell Gardens up in Skagway. She was using the red flowers of the begonias to color her greenish rhubarb sauce to make it look more aesthetically appealing.
Natural food coloring.
Exactly, right. So it works great. And again, they are really tasty. Other common stuff we grow, calendulas, which can really add a nice yellow, usually yellow to orange colors. Again, you know, multiple colors, just like with the nasturtiums. Tossed into salads, they can be torn apart in various places. And then some of our pansies are another good one that are tasty. Pansies, violets, Johnny Jump Ups, all of those. Again, many of the stuff we do grow. I guess I would maybe advise that folks be growing these with, well, clean soil and probably organic fertilizers. You may not want to be eating the flowers directly from a local retailer who has brought them up from down south, because you don't know what they've been grown in or what they've been treated with.
Like pesticides.
Exactly. Pesticides and various other chemicals. So that's, you know, I guess that applies to a whole lot of the things we eat, really.
Okay. And any other things that are common in Alaska yards and gardens, or maybe on the fringe of gardens that we shouldn't be eating?
That we should not be eating? Well, yes. Buttercups would be buttercups and the whole buttercup family are generally included as poisonous, which includes everything from peonies to delphiniums and monk's hood, columbines, the various different kinds of buttercups. Monk's hood also called wolfbane. Foxglove is another one. That one will stop your heart. A lot of these things are medicinal. The challenge is knowing the dosage and how to prepare them. So let's stick with the good edibles. Squash blossoms can be dipped into a fritter batter or a tempura batter and fried. They can be stuffed, especially if they're firmer, like the day before they open. You can gently open them up, pack them with a light stuffing or breading, and again, they can be rolled and fried. And of course, everything dipped in tempura batter is tasty anyway.
Is that one I'm holding right now?
Exactly, yeah. So that's one of the male flowers, you know, and usually there's lots and lots more male flowers than there are of the female flowers, the ones that would have the little squash or the zucchini on them. So you can pick those without any fear of not getting so many of the fruits. Another really good one, good family, I guess, would be you're holding bee balm flowers, bright red, which are tasty and tangy. The leaves of those also are edible, and you may know them as bergamot, which is a flavoring, one of the additions to Earl Grey tea. The different flowers of the bolting radishes, broccoli, turnips, and other different stuff are also quite sweet. So you can, of course, the unopened buds are, you know, look like broccoli. But if once they open, the yellow flowers generally are a tasty, sweetish addition to salads and such too.
Okay, and what are these other ones?
You're holding nasturtium blossoms.
Okay.
There, and the red one that you had was the begonia flowers.
This one right here?
So those are just a few of some of there are a lot more. I mean, certainly you can do web searches for them. Again, be careful about cleanliness. I mean, I'm picking these from above the ground, so they don't have dirt splashed on them. And they've been grown. The begonias I overwinter. We've talked about overwintering begonias in the past. And they're a great one. And the thing with picking the flowers, the plant produces more because they're constantly trying to reproduce. So, again, picking these flowers of the nasturtiums, too. Otherwise, they'll form seed pods, which you can, you know, I know some folks who pickle the seed pods of nasturtiums as a caper substitute. So, you know, it's like one thing leads to another, depending on what stage you choose them. And certainly with the squash blossoms, if you pick a female with a little squash or a little zucchini attached, again, that's just a little bit more that you can stir fry or saute also.
And, okay, and so most of these will continue blooming or blossoming throughout the entire season, not just once at the very start.
Correct. Most of them are annuals. The begonias are tender. We've got to bring them indoors at least to get them to survive till next year. The bee balm is a good perennial. It comes back year after year, continues to bear fruit, bear flowers, assuming you take reasonable care of it. So again, you can choose, you know, in the springtime when you're choosing your seeds or your plants to grow some of these to add a little more color and flavor to your diet.
Okay. Ed Bajarski, thanks a lot.
You're welcome, Matt.
Pulling weeds and picking stones, man is made.
Garden Talk is a weekly feature during Morning Edition during the spring, summer, and early fall, and you can go to our website to check out our archive of previous segments.
My way in nature's chain to my body and my